seen the world with a five-piece band. Looking at the backside of me, singing my songs and one of his now and then. But I don't think Hank done them this way. No, I don't think Hank done them this way. Take it on.
Good morning, sweet, beautiful Texas. Some classic Waylon Jennings to get this party started on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show presented by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. So glad to be here riding shotgun with you on this lovely Texas morn. I hope that everybody out there listening got some decent rainfall in your neck of the woods this past week. Lord knows we all could use a little bit more of it, but certainly grateful for what we did get. Boy, oh boy, we've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be all over the map, so pull up your chair a little closer to the old campfire, pour yourself another cup of coffee out of that beat-up, ragged old thermos, and get ready, because off the top, we'll be joined by Mr. Whitetail himself, Larry Wisehewn. We're going to get into something that honestly is new to me. I had no idea that you could do this, but we're going to talk about calling javelinas by using a rabbit distress sound. So very interesting stuff there, as Larry's got a wealth of knowledge on the subject. Then we'll be joined by our Texas Freshwater Fisheries Center Director, Alan Forshoggy. If you're not aware, Texas Parks and Wildlife has this little thing that they call Operation World Record. And without going into too much detail, it's their effort to try to get a new world record largemouth bass to come out of Texas waters. And Alan will break down just exactly how they are trying to do that. So all you hardcore bass fishermen out there won't want to miss that. Then we'll talk feral hogs with Texas Commissioner of Agriculture, Todd Staples. They've got a new program out where counties can apply for a grant and then use that money to pay hunters and trappers for every feral hog that they kill. So yeah, if you're like me and you already enjoy killing feral hogs, makes it even sweeter to think about getting paid to do so. Then we'll round out the broadcast by checking in with our longtime friend, Captain Lynn Girard. He'll join us live from the Texas coast for our saltwater fishing report. And we always have a good time cutting up with Captain Lynn. A couple other things to mention. Don't forget that all of our shows are available for free on iTunes. Just search Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Also, they're available for free as podcasts on our website. And then one other thing to mention, don't forget our Photo of the Month contest is going on right now. Send in your best outdoor photo to LoneStarOutdoorsShow@gmail.com for your chance to be our July winner and win a Saltwater Series fishing rod from Temple Fork Outfitters. And then also, of course, our 12 monthly winners will compete for our Photo of the Year grand prize. And this year's winner will once again join me on an exotic buck slash spring turkey combo hunt out at Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas. So we are thrilled to have such a great prize package to offer this year's winner. Let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we're calling javelinas with Mr. Whitetail Larry Wisehewn, only on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I sang Dixie as he died. People just walked on by as I cried.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs. Like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand. Ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs. If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIguns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Frisco Gun Club is a one-of-a-kind facility offering a luxury gun range, club, and retail pro shop, selling firearms, ammo, accessories, and apparel. With 36 handgun lanes and 4 rifle lanes, it's the largest indoor range in the country. Gunsmiths are on-site, and CHL and safety training classes are available. Frisco Gun Club is open to the public and has a variety of annual memberships from entry-level to private VIP club, complete with full bar, cigar room, and upscale dining. Call 855-FRISCO-CLUB, that's 855-FRISCO-CLUB, or visit friscogun.com. Opening summer 2013.
I ain't going down till the sun comes up. A bottle of whiskey on my old stomping ground brings me around to the old familiar faces I need to recharge my battery.
Batteries, the name of that one there, from our good friend Brandon Ryder, bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Thank you so much for being here. We are about to check in with Mr. Whitetail himself, Larry Weishune. But first, this segment is proudly brought to you by two great Texas traditions. And I'm talking about Rudy's Barbecue, where you can stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at one of their convenient Metroplex locations. And the segment is also brought to you by STI Guns. They're Texas-made, based right there in Georgetown. They've been making some of the world's premier handguns for over 25 years. They've got a full line of 1911 and 2011-style pistols and calibers. So do what I did. For your next handgun, visit STIguns.com and go Texan, go STI. Without further delay, let's go ahead and welcome our next guest to the program. He is a longtime wildlife biologist, outdoor writer, and of course, television show host. It is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weishune, back to the show.
It is my pleasure, as always, to be back with you guys. I'll tell you what, it's been a great summer, and we're really looking forward to a real good fall, too. I mean, particularly here in Texas, it's been dry, but at the same time, we've had some areas that have gotten some rain, and looks like the bird population is going to be up a little bit, and we've got rain just about the right time, too, for some of the antlers to be produced pretty good by the time fall comes.
Yes, sir. Our game cams have been showing some great antler growth up in Montague County, and then also the deer are really fat and healthy this year. But, Larry, I know you just got back from a pretty cool trip as you were on safari in South Africa.
Actually, we did. I spent a month in Africa, just as you mentioned. We spent 2 weeks in South Africa hunting with Freaky Detroit Safaris. Basically there, we hunted hippo. Shot a really nice big old hippo with a 375 rigger using Hornady ammo and the 300 grain DGS rather. And then Blake Barnett, who serves as my producer and cameraman for my TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, also shot a really good hippo as well. After that, we'd sold a ton at auction at the Dallas Safari Club, and as it worked out, not only did the hunter shoot a great lioness, Bobby ended up killing an old lion that been causing all kinds of problems, and we're finally able to get him. They'd been hunting him for about 3 months, and we were finally able to take him. And then again, too, Blake Barnett and I shot a really great line as well. And with that, we ended up going down to the Hunt with Omawavy Safaris in the Caprivi Strip, which is just an absolutely fabulous area of Namibia. With as it worked out, got up there, and our primary purpose was to hunt buffalo and maybe some plains game. And as it worked out, we had Mike Reynolds, who also bought the hunt at Dallas Safari Club Convention. And as it worked out, Mike ended up shooting about a little over 12-foot croc and then a absolutely great buffalo, kind of like I did. And then, two, they had an extra permit for elephant, and he ended up shooting a gray elephant. So when it was all said and done, we'll have four separate shows for the 14 season, and one each of hippo, lion, elephant, and cape buffalo. So great adventures, a lot of good fun.
Awesome stuff, and we will certainly be looking forward to checking out those episodes. But going back to the new show, which is what you guys were filming for, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, it just premiered on Sportsman's Channel July 1st.
It is. It started July the 1st. It's on here in Texas, Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock, Friday afternoons at 5:30 p.m., and then Saturday mornings at 8:30 a.m., and of all the shows that I've been involved with over the years, I've never been more proud or more pleased than I am with the one that we're doing right now.
Very cool. And yeah, actually, Dallas Safari Club is the title sponsor of the show, one of our great sponsors as well, just an absolutely fabulous organization.
It is. Actually, that's where we're headed. We're on the road right now to tour Dallas, and this evening we're doing a special presentation at the Dallas Safari Club headquarters of a couple of the shows that we did to kind of say thank you to Dallas Safari Club and their members.
Well, Larry, let's change it up here and go ahead and get into the topic I really want to discuss today. It centers around your recent article in Texas Sporting Journal called When Javelina Come Calling, which I found incredibly fascinating because, honestly, I had no idea that a hunter could call these magnificent little critters. And according to the article, it was a bit of a surprise to you as well at first.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was. In years past, I did a lot of varmint calling, but at the same time, and occasionally we would have a javelina come in, but it just kind of, I thought more so than anything else, that, you know, it was just kind of coming by at the time and kind of heard the sound and kind of looked that way. But years ago, a gentleman by the name of Judd Cooney, Judd was back when was a game warden in Colorado, and he and a guy by the name of Jim Daughtry from over in Arizona did a lot of different calling, and they started tracking javelinas simply by taking a varmint call and just blowing. And they found that as long as you keep blowing, the javelina keep coming. When you stop blowing, the javelina will slow down or kind of lose interest. But so as a result of that, Judd was the one to introduce me to it. And I'll tell you what, the first time we tried it, it was scary, literally, the results that we had, because these javelina would come in all bristled up, teeth popping, grunting, squealing, and coming at a dead run.
So needless to say, they're coming in hard and fast. And I think that first day, y'all called in a herd of like 20 or so.
We did. I mean, that first day that we went out and tried it, I mean, when I was there, Dud had told me about it. He had tried it once or twice when he was down here in Texas before. And he said, we were on our way to the Chaparral Wildlife Area to try to just do some calling and do some photography there close to Artesia Wells. And then on one of those days, we were driving back and forth and we saw a group of javelina that ran across the road in front of us. And we just stopped there on the highway just off the side in the ditch and started calling. And we just, I mean, I felt pretty good about the fact that we were sitting inside the pickup and then on the back of the bed, because those javelina were just circling us. I mean, right around the edges of the tires. It was just amazing. I mean, and every time we tried it after that, we had javelina just come at a run if there were any within hearing distance.
Uh-huh. And so when you're trying to call javelina, do you usually try to spot them first, or are there cases where you do blind stands as well?
We have done it all different ways. And usually what we did to start with, we were finding places. Of course, javelina's favorite food down in South Texas is prickly pear, and we would find where they'd freshly been eating prickly pear and set up there and started calling kind of blind. and had them come in. And then, two, several times where it was open enough where we could see, you might spot one, you know, walk across the Sendera or something like that, and we'd get probably within about, 75 to 100 yards where we'd seen them, and then find a tree that we could crawl up if we needed to and start crawling, start calling. And, I mean, they would literally come at a run. I've also played with them out in West Texas, out not far out of El Paso, just east of El Paso a little way, and we're way off the distance. We'd see one or two javelina and start calling. And, I mean, here they would come again, teeth popping, hair standing on end, coming at an absolute dead run. Why they respond, you know, to that call, and all we were doing is just taking the first couple times we called, we were using just mouth-blown, long-range Burnham Brothers type mouth-blown calls, and just blow as hard as you can and bury the sound a little bit and just keep blowing. But again, as long as we would keep blowing, if we could see them at a distance, they would keep coming. And if we stopped, they would kind of lose interest. But as soon as you started blowing again and kept on blowing, here they would come again.
That is just absolutely amazing. Did y'all ever use an electronic call? I mean, do you think that would have the same effect?
We've tried it. Most of the electronic calls that are out there, they'll blow for a little while, or they'll make a sound for a little while, and then they'll hesitate a little bit. So they'll come, but then they'll stop, and then they'll come. So to me, the best way to do it, unless you've got a recording that is just a continual calling that never slows down, is just to use a mouth-blown call. And personally, that's my preference anyway. I like to be able to make the sound to attract that animal rather than a tape machine or something like that. So it just kind of gives me a little bit more satisfaction about taking a call and attracting that animal myself by blowing into it.
Right. But overall, it's a jackrabbit distress sound that's the most effective.
With almost any of the sounds, years ago when I did a lot of work with Haydale game calls, for a while we developed a javelina call. And basically what it was a long-range jackrabbit type distress call. And we just taught people to continue blowing it all the time. You know, once you start, don't call and then hesitate, call and hesitate.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very cool. Well, that's very interesting. When I read this article, I was just, almost shocked. I just really had no idea. And it's kind of weird because, you know, like you said, their favorite food is prickly pear. They're basically, you know, almost 100% a herbivore. So why they come running to a jackrabbit distress sound is pretty amazing.
You know, it is. We tried to look at it, you know, maybe it sounds like a baby javelina, but, you know, that's having a problem or something like that. But that sound is totally different from what the sounds we're making with the varmint, being a regular rabbit, long-range distress calls. But, again, they come in, and when they do, I mean, they're coming at a run. It's like they're there to whip and eat or whatever is the source of that sound, because, like I said, every hair will be standing up on end, and they're popping their teeth, and they're squealing, and, I mean, they'll run right up to you. I mean, within 3 or 4 feet, we've been out at night several times taking guys out years ago, and we'd never been calling, and knowing they were javelina in there, but I always made sure we had a tree nearby, and we'd start calling. Here they'd come in, and you turn on the light, and next thing you know, they're 5-6 feet away from your feet. You look for the guy that had never been calling before, and you look up at the tree as far up as he could go or she could go, and that's where you find them. So, and I can understand some of that.
No doubt about it. Well, Larry, very interesting stuff today. Like I said, until I read your article, I had no idea that one could call in javelina. Y'all be sure to check out the new show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, which airs on Sportsman's Channel. And then if people want to keep up with your adventures, you're very active on your Facebook page as well, and people can follow you there.
Absolutely. I have a Facebook page called Larry Wysoon Outdoors, and it's the one that I'm most active on, and they can kind of keep up with me there probably as much as any place else.
Well, Larry, we certainly appreciate your time today. Look forward to not only your new show, but also your next article. Keep them coming, and have a great season this fall.
Cable, I agree, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning.
My pleasure. Take care, Larry.
We'll see you.
So there he goes, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon. Great stuff, as always, when we check in with Larry. By the way, that segment proudly brought to you by Sendero Seed Company, Texas premier seed company. They've got anything and everything you need to keep your whitetail herd healthy and happy. Check them out at senderoseed.com or call 1-877-610-SEED today. Sendero Seed Company for all your planting needs. Well, let's go ahead and knock out a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into Operation World Record. That's Texas Parks and Wildlife's attempt to have a 22.5-pound world record largemouth bass come out of Texas waters. And we'll find out exactly how they plan on accomplishing that after the break, only on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Take me, I want to go. I want to see where that red ribbon flows. Steel wheels burning into the night. Take this cowboy home on a midnight ride. On a midnight ride.
Frisco Gun Club is a one-of-a-kind facility offering a luxury gun range, club, and retail pro shop, selling firearms, ammo, accessories, and apparel. With 36 handgun lanes and 4 rifle lanes, it's the largest indoor range in the country. Gunsmiths are on-site, and CHL and safety training classes are available. Frisco Gun Club is open to the public and has a variety of annual memberships from entry-level to private VIP club, complete with full bar, cigar room, and upscale dining. Call 855-FRISCO-CLUB, that's 855-FRISCO-CLUB, or visit friscogun.com. Opening summer 2013.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at LoneStarAgCredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Right now, save 10% on any package of multiple animals. Military personnel, police, and firefighters also get 10% off. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Howdy Outdoors fans, Michael Curview, Internet Manager at Graff Chevrolet. We're proud to be the official dealership of the Lone Star Radio Show. We have a large selection of new Chevys starting at just $12,999. Lowest overhead means lowest price in North Texas. We'll beat any price on a new Chevy guaranteed. Drive a little, save a lot. Chevys are cheaper in Grand Prairie. Call 800-560-3518 or shop online 24-7 at GraffChevrolet.com. Graff Chevrolet, serving Texas Outdoors fans since 1952. Chevy runs deep.
Gonna back this boat into the water. Find a way to win a couple dollars. Weatherman says there's a cold front coming down. Bring it on, I've seen it all by now. I can catch them shallow, I can catch them deep. Open water or the back of the creek. The wind and rain to me, it's all the same.
Great stuff there from Elite Series Pro Casey Ashley. Pretty cool to be a professional bass angler and a country recording artist. Fisherman's the name of that one, by the way. And this is the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith. So glad to be here talking outdoors with y'all this morning as we're about to get into Texas Parks and Wildlife's attempt to grow a world record largemouth bass. But first, this segment is brought to you by the National Beer of Texas. I'm talking about Lone Star Light. Next time you head out to the lake, make sure you pack a couple in your cooler and celebrate tight lines and a great day on the water with a refreshing ice-cold Lone Star Light. Well, moving right along here, let's go ahead and get into Operation World Record. And here to tell us all about this effort is Texas Parks and Wildlife Freshwater Fishery Center Director Alan Forshaghi. Welcome back to the show, bud.
Well, thank you. Abel, good to be here.
Hey, it's always great to have you back with us, Alan. So what's going on at the Freshwater Fishery Center out in Athens these days?
Well, we just finished our main production season. This year we produced over 8 million fry, which resulted in 5 million fingerling stocked in public lakes. And so I think we're getting catfish in today, and the share local program's not going on, so things are going to slow down just a little bit.
Wow, so y'all really are entering the dog days of summer. But Alan, you know, we've discussed various things over the years related to y'all's ShareLunker program, which most bass fishermen and women out there are very familiar with, whether it's been with you or with David Campbell, who has since retired. But today I want to discuss something that really hasn't garnered as much publicity, and that is Operation World Record, which is y'all's attempt to one day have a new world record largemouth come out of Texas waters.
We would love that to happen. And it was really part of the original idea of ShareLunker when they first started the program in 1986. They wanted to use any fish donated to the program to be spawned in a selected breeding program. Unfortunately, we really didn't have the ability to do a selective breeding program until the Freshwater Fishery Center was completed. And at that time, we started the program around 2000.
Okay, and if you would, go into a little more detail about the selective breeding program and kind of break that down for us.
Well, you know, it's not unlike any other selective breeding program that's done in agriculture. We came up with a plan where all of the ShareLunkers are females, by the way, in case you don't know that. When the females come in and they're in good health, and we do the genetic testing, our DNA testing, to find out if they're 100% pure or an intergrade or northern. And if they're pure Florida bass, then we would use those in the spawning program. The year we started it, we had some males that were tagged in our broodfish population that were descendants of a Gibbons Creek ShareLunker years and years ago. We had 20 of these males left over. So we used those males on the initial crosses, and then each year when we produce a cross, we save some of those fish, primarily the males, to be used as future brooders. And it takes about 2 to 3 years to get a male large enough to spawn with an incoming ShareLunker female, which is usually 13 pounds, and our males are anywhere from 2 to 3 pounds. So that's what's taken so long in the breeding program.
Right. So like you said, any largemouth caught weighing over 13 pounds between, I believe, October 1st and April 30th, that's the ShareLunker season. But you guys will take that fish and enter it into the ShareLunker program once the genetic testing is completed. If it's 100% pure Florida strain, y'all will use those as breeder fish. And now, just backing up, a little bit of a history lesson here. The current Texas record is 18.18 pounds that was caught by Barry St. Clair back in 1992 out of Lake Fork. And, Alan, it's been 2 decades now, and it's honestly kind of surprising that we haven't seen anything bigger yet.
Well, you know, I was hoping to have a 20-pounder by now, and we just seemed to hit the top end with Barry's record. But we know that largemouth bass can get larger, you know, as exhibited by the current world record at 22 pounds. But it's a rare fish, our largemouth bass, to be over 20 pounds. And we haven't broke the 20-pound barrier, and I really feel like the only way that's ever going to happen is through our selective breeding program, because we're trying to improve the genes to get that maximum size increased from what it is today to over 20.
Mm-hmm. And Alan, you mentioned the world record is 22.4 pounds. That was caught back in 1932 by George Perry in Georgia. And it was recently tied by Japan's Manuba Kurita in 2009. That was out of Lake Biwa, Japan. And, you know, that seems kind of significant because largemouth bass, I don't believe, are even native to Japan.
I'm not sure how those fish got there. I don't know the history. I did try to contact the people when it happened to see if they would give me a fin clip so I could do a DNA analysis to see if it was a pure Florida or what it was. And unfortunately, I met with no success on that one.
Well, that's kind of sorry on their part, but just goes to show you they're doing something right over there. I mean, it could be just luck or, you know, an accident, just a freak fish. But anyway, Alan, what percentage of Sharelunkers would you say are 100% pure Florida strain largemouth?
Well, until this year, we were at 50% of all Sharelunkers were pure Floridas, and then the other 50% were made up of a few F1s, which is a first generation cross, but then most of them are FXs, which are advanced crosses. And that we're not saying that the FXs don't get larger. We're just saying that the best fish for our breeding program is to stick with the pure Florida bass.
Well, I mean, the pure Florida strain does seem to get bigger, and you know, and just proof of that is the first Texas state record, I believe, was caught out of Lake Medina back in the 40s. That thing barely weighed over 13 pounds, and if you look at the way things are now, that fish wouldn't even crack the top 100 of all time in Texas.
And it was caught in 43, I believe, and that record stood for 37 years.
Uh-huh.
And then it was beat by fish coming out of Lake Monticello, Jim Kimball's state record.
Right.
And, of course, it was broke five more times after that.
So yeah.
It was because of the introduction of the Florida bass that we saw the increase in our maximum size of bass in Texas. It's been kind of amazing. Plus, another interesting piece of data is that because of the Sharelunker program, you know, if we look back at that original state record, we had one fish or one lake in the state of Texas that produced a bass over 13 pounds, and that was Lake Medina. Today we have 62 lakes that have produced bass greater than 13 pounds. And we would not have known that had we not had the Sharelunker program, because it documents the occurrence of these fish throughout the state. And that says a lot for our stocking and our management programs.
Yes, sir. No doubt about it. Alan, let's talk real quickly about Lake Fork, my favorite bass fishing lake. And for so many years, it was the gold standard. It looks like it's coming back, though, over the last couple years as it proves to just be the most consistent Sharelunker lake in Texas. It produced more lunkers this past season than any other Texas water body.
Well, Lake Fork has been an amazing lake. And of course, during its prime, that's when it produced the state record. And I mean, we really managed that. Pre-impoundment management and post-management was perfect for that lake and harvest regulations to produce the fishery it has. This year, we did get some nice lunkers out of there, including the largest fish of the year, which was a 15-pounder, I believe. I can't say enough good things about Lake Fork, but Texas reservoirs normally show a sign as they get older, they're not as productive because of deterioration of habitat. And then, you know, Texas has another thing going on across the entire state is this drought. And the drought really impacts our bass production, because as the lake levels drop, the habitat's not as good. And, you know, we'll see a decline in the occurrence of these big fish in these reservoirs that are not getting enough rain to fill them back up.
Okay. And Alan, my next question as we get close to wrapping things up here is, do you think there is a new world record out there swimming around in Texas waters right now?
I would love to say there is. I have no way of knowing that. I do know that there's some big fish out there. The one that got away is always that fish. But we have some other lakes coming online that have the potential of really producing some big fish. And you know, Lake Falcon and Amstead were doing great, and then we saw the decline in water levels and due to the drought, and so they've kind of dropped back a little bit. But I do feel like we will break that 20-pound barrier, and I hope I do it before I retire.
Yes, sir. Hey, Alan, last thing, tell us your top two or three favorite lakes that, because of habitat condition or other factors, you think have the best potential at producing at least a new state record, if not a world record.
Both Falcon and Amstead, the fish are still there. I think they're harder for the anglers to catch. I think those lakes have the potential. Lake Natchitoches, which is a new lake, we stocked it with our OWRs back in 2005. And this year we ended up with a fish that was a few ounces short of being a lunker that was identified as one of our OWR fish that we had stocked in there. And it had a tag in it. And plus we did the DNA analysis. And, you know, we could tell the parents of that fish. And so that lake has a lot of potential. We heard of 15-pounders coming out of there already this year. So it's got the potential of producing big fish also.
Awesome. Well, hey, Alan, we certainly appreciate your time as always, man. It's great to have you check in with us from the Freshwater Fisheries Center in Athens.
All right, man, I really appreciate y'all's time on the radio, and I wish the anglers all the luck in the world in catching that 20-pounder for me.
I'd love to see it, my friend. Hey, take care, Alan. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, there he goes. Our Texas Parks and Wildlife Freshwater Fishery Center Director, Alan Forshaughey. I really do love talking big bass with someone that has so much knowledge on the history of growing big bass. And, you know, over the last two decades, Texas has been the world's hotspot for largemouth bass fishing. So pretty cool stuff there. Let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our Texas Department of Agriculture Commissioner, Todd Staples, as there is a new bounty program where counties can apply for grants and then start paying hunters and trappers for every feral hog that they kill. So we'll get into that next. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I've got my heart strapped to my sleeve. I've got my sleeve tucked in my jeans. I've got my jeans stuffed in my boots. Got my walking back to you.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here to remind you about Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State and the Lone Star Outdoors Show. So whether I'm on the water or in the woods, Game Guard is the name I trust. Hitting the lake for the spring crappie spawn? Choose from 13 different colors in the microfiber vent back fishing shirt. These high quality feather light shirts offer unmatched comfort and performance. And my favorite part? They are virtually wrinkle free. Ideal for the outdoorsman or woman on the go. Maybe you're headed out to chase a big gobbler this season. Well, Game Guard's full line of outerwear is Texas Tough, made by Texas hunters for the Texas hunter. So do yourself a favor and visit GameGuard.net for all your hunting and fishing apparel needs. Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com.
All right, listen up, all you Texas outdoorsmen and women. SDS Outdoors is a top-tier manufacturer and distributor of high-quality, feature-rich, luxury outdoor products. Their product lines include luxury deer blinds, deer blind windows, gun range towers, bow fishing boats, and a whole lot more.
Call SDS Outdoors at 214-551-1530 or check them out online at www.sdsoutdoors.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance, and you're listening to the Lone Star. Let's do it again.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I've seen better days since I lost you. Nights have gotten longer and my days of cold sunshine can get you off the mind. And every time I feel the touch of someone new, I don't feel any stronger because I'm all known.
There's a little Grant Jones in the Pistol Grip Lassos bringing us back from break on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith, thrilled to be here with you as we are talking hunting and fishing, and all that implies. We do it every weekend. I sincerely appreciate you tuning in. This segment of the program is brought to you by Real Bark Hunting Blinds, the official blind of our show. Real Bark is Texas-made and Texas-owned, and they offer the finest in comfort and durability in a hunting blind. Be sure to visit their website at realbark.com to see their full line of extreme blinds today. Well, I understand that our next guest is on the line, so let's go ahead and welcome Texas Department of Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples back to the program.
Cable, it's good to be with you. Appreciate you promoting all things good about Texas.
Well, it is an absolute privilege to be able to do so. Commissioner Staples, last time you were on the show, you know, we talked about your upbringing and how you grew up hunting and fishing. I know because of your schedule, you're very busy, but did you have a chance to slow down and get out and do any hunting this past season?
Went deer hunting last season with some friends of mine. Had a great time. Didn't get anything really big to brag about, but always good to get outdoors. And actually shot an axis deer last year as well, so that was a fun experience. And, you know, getting outdoors just kind of gets your mind thinking right. And in politics, you certainly need to do that on a regular basis. I wish more politicians would get out and enjoy the great outdoors and appreciate God's good blessings and take advantage of hunting and fishing and opportunities we have in the Lone Star State.
Yes, sir. And axis deer, man, that is some good eating right there. Probably my favorite venison out there.
We made some good chili out of axis deer, and you can do a lot better things than that. My wife uses wild game and mixes it with beef for meatloaf, and we really enjoy that at home as well. Of course, nothing better than chicken fried steak and gravy and some mashed potatoes out of wild game as well.
Yes, sir. And Commissioner, I know that this is a very busy time for you in your career, but do you have anything on the books for this coming season as far as, you know, slowing down and getting into the great outdoors?
Well, I'm excited about dove season coming up around the corner, and several friends of mine have talked about getting together for a dove hunt, potentially doing a dove hunt political fundraiser, and so we've got a lot of options on the books, and I'm going to make time to get outside and enjoy that. I'll tell you, I was in Paducah, Texas the other day, and came across a guy that's putting in a power line.
Huh.
And he told me that he jumped several coveys of quail.
Yeah.
And the word and report that I'm getting is, and we know how bad and devastating the drought's been on our wildlife population, but it's great news to hear that the numbers may be coming back on quail because a lot of areas have really been impacted.
Well, Bob White, quail are certainly a boom or bust species, no doubt about that. But let's transition into feral hogs here, something that we talked a lot about the last time you were on the show, but there's some new stuff that y'all have going on as far as the County Hog Abatement Matching Program, otherwise known as CHAMP, and this is an opportunity for counties to actually pay hunters for feral hogs killed. Tell us how this thing came about.
Well, we know that feral hogs continue to be a major problem. The numbers explode. Too bad the drought hasn't had the opportunity to negatively impact them like they've done some of our other species. But they're increasingly causing damages all across Texas, from farmers' fields to golf courses to residential front yards. And so we know that government does not have all the answers. The best solutions come from local areas, predominantly private efforts. And so we have our Hog Out program that we've talked about before on the show, which is a three-month competition between October and December. So we started this CHAMP program, and our thought was really twofold. One, we wanted to be efficient with our limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, see what we could do to get public and private partners to come together. And so our goal of the CHAMP program is to get counties to join together, to get landowners engaged in the process, and to come up with some creative ideas on reducing the feral hog population. Mm-hmm. We've allocated about $55,000 for this first kind of a pilot program. The grants will be maximized at $30,000, and we're going to get the applications in. Right now, Cable, we think about a dozen counties will be impacted by this program, and we hope to see some good results, and we hope to see some low-cost results in reducing the feral hog population.
Yes, sir. And my understanding, Commissioner Staples, is that once these counties apply for the grant and their application is approved, they then can appropriate those funds to hunters and trappers for every feral hog that is turned in.
Well, it's just going to depend on what the county comes up with for the best plan to reduce the greatest number of hogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it is a matching program, so there needs to be some skin in the game at the local level. But the real genius of this, we think, is for us not to dictate a specific set of circumstances. Let's let the counties and the landowners come up with ways that they think will be most successful. And then we want to reward them and partner with them on their efforts. So I know our grants team has the applications now. They're reviewing those. They're going to rank them and score them, and the funding will be determined based on their evaluation scores.
Okay, so I realize the County Hog Abatement Matching Program application window is closed, but there is another opportunity, something that we talked about last time you were on the show, and that is Hog Out, where counties can apply for grants, and that program will take place again this fall. Talk about how counties can take advantage of this opportunity. I believe the application window is going to open up here towards the end of the summer.
I think that's right, because we want to get the funds set up so people will know, because it's October through December. And in order to participate and be eligible, you have to go through this process. Let us know that. And we're going to be posting it. We'll be sure to send you out a media advisory. We're going to post it on our website, texasagriculture.gov, so that everybody will have full information on what the rules are with the Hog Out program.
Well, we certainly love these opportunities that you guys provide on a local level, where counties can actually pay hunters to go out and kill or trap feral hogs. How cool is that? Hey, Commissioner Staples, according to y'all's last figures, how much damage do feral hogs do in Texas each year?
Most experts indicate that hundreds of millions in economic loss. In agricultural enterprises alone, it's estimated to be over 50 million. The numbers are around 2 million as far as the number of hogs, 2 to 2.6. And so it really is having tremendous impact. And Table, the dangerous thing is it's more and more drivers on our public highways and our roads and our farm to markets. The damage that's being caused there is just very catastrophic and life-threatening. So that's why we're trying to keep these numbers down to a manageable level.
Well, we certainly appreciate all that you guys do in coming up with these creative programs to try and help manage this feral hog explosion. One other thing that we do want to mention, something exciting for you. You are running for Lieutenant Governor of Texas.
I am a candidate for Lieutenant Governor in this next primary in March, the Republican primary. I think this election is about not just the next election, but the next generation. And we need bold leaders who have a consistent conservative record of solving problems. And that's why I'm running for Lieutenant Governor. And I'm having an exciting time traveling around the state, interacting with taxpayers, listening to their concerns. They want someone fighting for private property owners' rights. They want someone fighting against unnecessary Washington mandates and regulations. And I'm talking about all these things, and you can find that on my website at toddstaples.com.
All right. Well, you know you've got a vote right here, and we certainly appreciate your time today.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you. And remember, go out, go hunt, go fish, go Texas.
You better believe it. There he goes, Texas Department of Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples. Always great to check in with him. Let's go ahead and knock out a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by an old familiar voice when Captain Lynn Girard joins us from the Texas coast for our monthly coastal fishing report. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I'm gonna build me a boat with these two hands of his. Fair curve from a noble plan. Let the chips fall where they will. Cause I've got boats to build.
Ben Lofton Fencing is Texas' premier fencing company. They apply a design it right, build it right the first time mindset to all projects. And with 15 plus years experience, there's no job they won't tackle. Ben Lofton Fencing specializes in deer and exotic game fences, breeder and handling facilities, water gaps, as well as farm and ranch fences, and corrals and working pens. Better Business Bureau certified, they offer the quality and personal service you expect. So for your next fencing project, go Texan and call Mr. Lofton himself at 254-709-1320 or visit benloftonfencing.com.
Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The System is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
The new Bobcat utility vehicle is here at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's hungry. Get ready to work like an animal and love it. Powerful, ultra-comfortable, and sure-footed, this lineup of vehicles delivers legendary Bobcat performance, so you can sink your teeth into a wide range of jobs. With twice the horsepower, 1,850 pounds of payload capacity, and four-wheel independent suspension, you will love it. Stop in at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth to see for yourself.
BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Cinnamon Creek Ranch is not your typical archery club. It's a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, a full pro shop, and 6 different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters, located on 80 acres in Roanoke, Texas, and offering over 200 3D targets to shoot at. This one-of-a-kind event facility was designed with the bow hunter in mind. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. That's CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
This is Greg Biffle, driver number 16-3 and Ford Fusion, and thank you for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
The water, it reflected all the darkness in the sky. As we crossed that western bay, but the helmsman, he misjudged it, and we ran aground. At the edge of the intercoastal waterway, and then the sky.
There's a little Daryl Lee Rush for you on a Lone Star weekend. Smuggler's Prayer is the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming everybody back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. This segment of the program proudly brought to you by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter, where you can stop in to experience legendary selection and service. Let expert outfitters show you the latest in hunting, fishing, camping, outdoor apparel, and footwear at tough-to-beat prices. And you'll get free shipping when you shop online and ship your order to one of Cabela's three great Texas locations. Cabela's, world's foremost outfitter. So let's not waste any time bringing on our next guest. He joins us once a month for our Cabela's Corner Coastal Fishing Report. Sadly, we missed our June report as Captain Lynn was just so busy taking you guys and gals fishing. But he is here with us now. And Captain Lynn, you wouldn't believe how many folks emailed in wondering where you'd been.
Well, that's a fact, Cable. I know. It's been really busy, and we just got so tied up, both of us, I guess. You with the new child and me with all these new fishermen and stuff. It was just crazy all month.
Uh-huh.
But fishing's been good. The brown tide is gone. So makes the waters clean and cool, and it's been pretty good fishing. A lot of trout, a lot of big oversized trout this year. You know, trout that can go to the taxidermist like over 30 inches.
Excellent. And yeah, we talked about that brown tide in detail last time you were on the show, and you know, it really makes the fishing a little bit tougher. It takes all the oxygen out of the water, and so it doesn't kill the fish, but it scatters them. So you got to put in a little more effort to find them.
Yeah, we had to go quite a ways, you know, to get away. But actually, there's the water's really crystal clear, and once you get a few rains and stuff, I think that really helped out a lot.
Uh-huh.
And now the redfish are moving in because they were kind of, I think the redfish and flounder that would spawn in the Gulf and they come in, I think they probably did a U-turn and went back out when they ran into that brown tide. And so now they're coming in like crazy.
Like gangbusters, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, it's been a lot of fun because we're fishing closer now, so it's more time to fish and less time to travel.
Right. Well, one thing I love about fishing with you is how convenient it is. You know, you have access to that private boat ramp there in Corpus Christi Bay, and then you don't have to deal with the bait shop traffic and public ramps.
Right. And this way, and we also, because it's in a deeper area, and during the summertime, those fish, people don't realize it, but those fish like to go into that deeper water, especially those big old redfish.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, you know, sometimes they're just right there in that, just before you hit the Laguna Madre, they're sitting right in that, right where the housing area goes into Laguna Madre, right there, too. So.
Right.
And also, been a lot of mangrove snapper this year, and nice ones, too. And they're like the delicacy of the coast.
Oh, they are pretty tasty.
Yeah, good eating, nasty-looking fish.
So what depth are you finding most of your fish right now, Captain Lynn?
Yeah, that's another thing, too, that the trout, I ran into this guy, and we started, you know, comparing notes and stuff. And a lot of times I was always thinking you had to be in at least 3 foot of water, you know, where the trout are spawning. And he disagreed. And now I agree with him that we were catching most of our trout. First, we started to catch them down in a place called Rocky Slough, which was big old rocks, and it was clear water. And it's so cool because you can see your bait in the water and everything else. But we were fishing in 2 foot and less of water. I mean, the boat hardly even sticks out. And the fish were just in that 2.5 to 2 feet of water.
Hmm.
Kind of hard to believe, but those fish were just in there solid. And we were getting limits of fish one after another in that shallow water. So it was pretty cool.
Wow.
And now we're using croaker, and the croaker's starting to get big. And I've just recently been using piggy perch. Like, we're going to use piggy perch today. And the piggy perch is a little bit different. They actually do make like a little oinking noise, believe it or not. Croaker makes a croaking noise, which really attract the trout. And they're pretty small, but man, are they just hitting those piggies. They were kind of moving from croaker to piggies.
Uh-huh.
And the piggies are hard to find, though.
Well, we've talked before about that dynamic between the trout and croaker, where they're natural enemies because croaker will eat the trout eggs. So of course, the trout are going to try to kill them and eat them. But as far as piggy perch, those really seem to be like crack for redfish.
Oh, yeah, that's redfish candy. That's way redfish candy. And mangrove snapper love those things, too.
Really?
I mean, really do, yeah. They're just like, they go crazy over them. And they're sometimes you put them on your hook and they look so small, but because they are small this time of year, but they just seem to just get engulfed. And well, in the same sense, the piggy perch will also eat the trout's eggs, so they're going to hit the piggy perch, same sense, you know, same thing, to hit them you know, but I think they eat the piggies a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, and they're just, like, yesterday they were just, it was just incredible. It was hard to find them, actually, and so I only had a couple of dozen. And I'll tell you what, I could almost, like, guarantee that out of that two dozen that we caught, probably 20 fish.
Wow.
And that's no kidding either.
Well, Captain Lynn, you and I had talked about doing something new during our fishing reports, and we're going to start that this week as our listeners can email me their bay fishing questions, and I will then propose them to you on the air. We've got our first one today. It's from Jared. He writes in from San Antonio, and just to kind of summarize his email, when he's fishing live bait for trout and redfish, he's having a hard time getting the fish in the boat once they hit the bait. Obviously, it's a lot different from largemouth bass fishing because you rear back and set that hook as hard as you can. You know, when you feel that largemouth, just thump it a little bit. But bay fishing requires a different approach, and I'm going to let you explain the technique that you use.
So, well, first of all, you got to, you know, think about your barometric pressure. Now, if it's real high pressure, the trout are going to be really testy because their swim bladder blows up. Not like a redfish and black drum or something. Their swim bladders don't get as tight on them, but there's like a little air pocket in their stomach with when you have high pressure, so they're going to be testy, and you just got to figure them out. If they're real testy like that, a lot of times they're going to hit your croaker and just kill it, and it's not really nothing you can do. But if you can, a lot of times you can actually open your bail and let that fish, when you feel that first thump, and try to, it's pretty tough to hold back, but you hold back and just open that bail and let him run with it a little bit, and then he will swallow it, or she will swallow it, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you just got to feel them out. Sometimes they're real aggressive. You have to, a lot of times what I do is I point my pole right at them when I feel that first thump and just give them about a foot. And then by pointing the pole at them, you're giving them about a foot of line. And then slowly, not a jerk, but a pull and reel at the same time. That's the trick.
Pull and reel at the same time.
Pull and reel at the same time. A good steady pull and reel kind of fast, and you'll hook, and then that fish will come to the top of the water and break water, and then you know you got him.
Right, right. Well, hey, hopefully that will help Jared in San Antonio out. And like we said, if y'all have any questions for Captain Lynn, just shoot me an email at lonestaroutdoorshow@gmail.com. Let's talk artificials here, Captain Lynn. What are you having the most success with right now?
We're super spooks. We're using a lot of top waters.
Is that an early morning bite?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's also, you know, like in the, like when the tide starts moving a lot too, it could be in the late afternoon also. And of course the soft plastics are more dark colors now, the purple lime chartreuse and stuff like that. So it's you want to mimic what they're eating. And right now I notice that they're, like in their bellies, is a lot of shrimp and a lot of those little pin perch, which are very silver looking. And so you want to use a color that's going to mimic that bait that they're eating. You know, the shrimp DOAs a lot of times will work too. So,
great stuff, Captain Lynn. Hey, we're almost out of time, but I want you to tell our listeners the story that you told me during the commercial break. Absolutely hilarious. You had a little fun at some anglers from Arkansas's expense.
Oh yeah, we were out toward the Corpus Christi Gulf. I mean, not the Gulf, but in the Corpus Christi Bay, and we were catching. There's a couple of spots where you can fish these old oil rigs and stuff. You know, when it gets real calm, I like going out there when there's no calm and no wind because it's a little deeper. And we were catching some nice quality trout, and they caught this. You know, they started catching a couple of these gaff tops, they look like a big old catfish with long whiskers, and long whiskers. And
right.
So they thought those catfish, being from Arkansas, they thought those catfish were the coolest thing on earth. And they're good eating. They're okay. You just got to, you know, clean them different. And they wanted the gaff tops more than they did the trout.
Forget the trout. We want the gaff tops. And hey,
they want these Fu Manchu catfish.
Let's go get some hardheads while we're at it.
And so anyway, I told them I was just looking, and what they do is they leave like a slime on your line at certain times of year, and I mean it's gross, and it's almost like a little jelly, and you got to get it off your line, you know, before you make your next cast when you catch one of those big gaff tops. And anyway, I told him I was just kidding around, and I said, you know, the scientists say that slime is like peyote. I go, it's a hallucinogenic, and I go, but that's just what I read. And about a half an hour later, we're fishing, and all of a sudden I look over and hear this lady and this guy are grabbing that slime and just eating it like there was no tomorrow. And I didn't make, you know, like I looked at him or saw him. I just turned my head and was kind of giggling inside. But, you know, that's the way it goes. But it was just kind of funny.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having a good time out there, Captain Lynn. And, you know, those Arkansas folks, they're a different breed sometimes. But we are out of time for this morning. Always great to visit with you, Captain Lynn. And we look forward to doing it again here in a couple weeks.
Well, I hope you're able to take a vacation pretty soon. So, alrighty. Thanks, Cable.
Obviously, one of our listeners is calling in trying to book a trip with Captain Lynn as he had to take another call there. But that's fine. We're out of time anyway. Remember, you can check out Captain Lynn's website at CaptainLynnsFishing.com. Thanks to our other guests today, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weishune, also Alan Forsyagi, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Freshwater Fishery Center Director, and, of course, Texas Department of Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples. We'll do it again next week, same time, same place. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making the show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Grave digger, when you dig my grave, could you make it shallow so I can feel the rain? Grave digger.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Goldthwaite, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now listen up, we here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in those sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Goldthwaite, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Goldthwaite, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.